Just some verses from Luke chapter 5. Just want to share some thoughts about the call of Matthew, or as he's called here, Levi. He was one of those disciples with a double name. Matthew is a lovely name. It means gift of God. So that's a lovely meaning to a name. And so there's so much to learn about Matthew. This is Luke's account, Luke 5 and verse 27. After this, he, Jesus, went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Tax collectors were among the most hated people in Jewish society. They would have been looked upon as being traitors, as being thieves, because they would have pocketed more than what they were supposed to. And of course, they built up some ill-gotten gains and became quite wealthy. So Matthew would have been one of these tax collectors. He would have been wealthy, and he would have stolen from the people, and they had this reputation, and they were hated by the people. In chapter 3 of Luke, it says in verses 12 and 13 that the tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what is appointed for you." So even Jesus said that to them. They had this reputation. So the people would have hated them, looked upon them as traitors and thieves. After all, it was work for the Roman government. This force that had occupied their land. They would also have been looked upon as being religiously unclean due to their daily contact with Gentiles. And Matthew here was sitting at the tax booth. And this little booth would have been a hard booth for collecting taxes. In fact, it was hired by the year. And of course, he would have had enough to have done that. And so he's hated by people. He's despised in society. And the first thing that we can see there about him is the call that was personal. Here is Matthew, and he arrives maybe at a certain time in the morning. He works to a certain time in the day. Day in, day out, it's the same routine. He's collecting taxes. He'll give so much to the governing authorities, but he's kept a bit back for himself. And the call that was personal, because before Matthew saw Jesus, it was Jesus who saw Matthew. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth. He looked at this man who was despised by other people, who was hated by them, hated by man, but loved by Christ. He saw Matthew. And it's a call personally to Matthew. There may have been other people that day around. Of course, there would have been plenty of people around. Maybe a queue at his tax booth to pay their taxes. Maybe cursing the man as they neared his table. Hated him. Hated the sight of him. But when Jesus saw him, there was no hatred for Matthew. There was only love. After this, he went and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." Two words that changed Matthew's life. It's a personal call. The Lord Jesus didn't say to anybody else that day, "Follow me." This call was for Matthew. And oftentimes, you know, in a congregation like this where there's a mixture of saved and unsaved, the Lord might just touch one person's heart and say, "Follow me." He hasn't touched others tonight, but he's maybe touched yours. And he says, "Follow me." The call that was personal. And of course, the most well-known tax collector in the Bible is Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19. And it says in verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Matthew was lost. Zacchaeus was lost. You're lost. I'm lost until we are found. And as a Christian, I can say that I'm no longer lost, but I was found. There was a day in my life when I was found. And each Christian can say that once I was lost, now I am found. Just how John Newton put it in his hymn, "Amazing Grace." The call that was personal, I wonder, is that call coming to someone's heart tonight? And the Lord is saying to you, "Follow me." And if you heed that call, there's no going back. You will follow him. Follow me. When Matthew heeded the call that day, where was Jesus going? Follow me. Where's this man taking me? Follow me. Where will I end up? Follow me. We don't read that Matthew asked any of those questions, because we don't only see the call that was personal, we see the commitment that was total. Follow me, and leaving everything. He rose and followed him, leaving everything. Hold on a minute, I have a business here. I have a lucrative business. I've been at this for a long time. And leaving everything, he rose and followed him. Maybe there was a queue of people. Maybe they wondered what was going on here. This man was sitting at the tax booth. It says that he was sitting. He left everything. He rose. He was sitting and he rose. He got up and he followed Christ. Maybe the people wondered, what's got into him? What has happened to him all of a sudden? Why is he leaving all this money? That didn't mean anything to him anymore. It didn't mean anything to him anymore. He may have been asking, I'll just use our currency, it's easier for me. He may have, maybe somebody approached the table and they owed £2. He asked for £3, put the other pound in his pocket, and that's how he got by. He lost all interest in that. He didn't bargain with Jesus. He said, look, I'll wait until I finish today's takings. Come back later when it's quieter. No, he left everything, rose up and followed him. What a step of faith. Leaving everything. Nothing else mattered. His commitment to Christ was total. And that is what it's meant to be. It's either all or nothing for the Saviour. Jesus says, follow me. He said in another place, if anyone does not take up his cross and follow me, cannot be my disciple. Taking up your cross. He who will save his life will lose it. He who loses his life for my sake shall find it. Now that takes a wee bit of thinking. And as I said a few weeks ago, I think in a service here, are you saving to lose? Or are you losing to save? He who saves his life will lose it. He who saves his life for this world, he who saves his life for the pleasures of this world, you will lose your life in eternity. But if you lose your life and this world has no interest to you, then you will save it for eternity. It was A.W. Tozer said, if you had been living in a city and coming up to Easter and the cross and Jesus on the middle cross and a thief either side, people would have seen crucifixions every day. It was a common sight. And A.W. Tozer says, if you had been in a city and you saw a man carrying his cross, he wasn't coming back. He was only going in one direction. There was no coming back. When Jesus said to Matthew, follow me, and he left everything, Matthew wasn't coming back to the tax booth. He was finished with it. There was no going back. If the course had have been around in those days, Matthew would have sung it. It would have been very appropriate. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back. If none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. Leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And when Jesus says to you, follow me, you do not know what that involves. But to follow someone means that they're taking the lead. You're not taking the lead. They're taking the lead. And you follow him. And you could not follow anyone better in this life than Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so we can see the call that was personal. Jesus saw Matthew before Matthew saw Jesus. All Matthew could see was money. But before this particular day was over, all he could see was the Master. Making money had lost its appeal. when Jesus said, "Follow me," Matthew didn't hang about and leaving all, leaving everything. He rose and followed him. I'm sure Matthew was not ignorant of Christ. He would have heard about him. He would have heard all that he did. He would have known of Christ's reputation. But here was this man coming personally, saying to him, "Follow me." And it was irresistible. He just had to leave everything and follow Christ. The call that was personal, the commitment that was total. And we see the change that was real. The change in his life. What's the first thing that Matthew did? He made him a great feast in his house. He must have invited Jesus to his house. He must have said, "Lord, let me bring you first to my house." We don't know if he had a wife and children. But that's where it all starts, isn't it? At home. At home. Christ was invited to Matthew's home. And Levi made him a great feast in his house. And he didn't keep it quiet. And there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with them. He invited other tax collectors, other friends. He invited them. And I'm sure the Lord Jesus took the opportunity in speaking to them, although it's not recorded. There was a large company. It just wasn't a few for a meal. A large company of tax collectors and others. And these people were despised by the religious leaders of the day. The Pharisees and their scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And by this arrangement by Matthew, it was showing that his life was changed. He was saying to the other tax collectors, "I'm not going back to the tax booth tomorrow morning. I'm finished. You can do whatever you like with it. But I personally am finished with it." He took his stand right at the start. The change was that real in his life. And that's what we need to see today, is change in people's lives. His conversion was genuine. He didn't keep the matter to himself. And we see in these verses also the cure that is vital. What did Jesus say? How did he answer these grumbling religious people of his day? And Jesus answered them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician. But those who are sick, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, of course, when it says righteous, it means self-righteous. These Pharisees and their scribes would have been self-righteous. But Matthew realized that he was a sinner and that he needed to repent. And to repent means to turn around and to go in a different direction. Matthew was one of these sinners. "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Those who are well have no need of a physician. You know, you're not going to awaken up some morning and say, "I think I'll call with my doctor today. It's a long time since I've seen him. I'll call at the bakery and get a couple of wee scones, and then I'll go down to the surgery and I'll just wrap his door and we'll have a cup of tea." No, you don't. The doctor is only there if you need him. You just don't pay a casual visit. He's only there if you need him. And we're all glad that they're there when we need them. And so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be cured tonight. We live, as it has often been described, as a sin-sick world. We hear of people's actions and, oh, those people are sick. And we would talk about, oh, he or she, they have a sick mind. And they're not far from the truth. There is sickness. Those who are well have no need of a physician. Those who don't see their need of repentance, they'll not need a physician. They will not come to the physician, to heaven's physician. They'll not come to Christ. But those who are sick will. And I wonder, do you feel that sickness tonight? That you have a sin-sick heart that needs cured. It's vital if you're to be a Christian and if you have to spend eternity with him in heaven. And just one last thought is the book that we have in our Bibles named after him, Matthew. And somebody once said, when Matthew left his job to follow Christ, he brought his pen with him. It's the largest of the Gospels. Matthew is 28 chapters, Mark 16, Luke 24, John 21. It's the largest of the Gospels. He brought his pen with him. There's many another name that has been forgotten as the centuries have rolled on, but the name of Matthew will never be forgotten. All the great things he has written in his book. And one has said he wrote a book which is known all over the earth. He became a blessing to others as well as blessed in his own soul. He left a name behind him which is better known than the names of princes and kings. The richest man of the world is soon forgotten when he dies. But as long as the world stands, millions will know the name of Matthew, the tax collector. 28 chapters, 1,051 verses. What great things he has said. And I close with this, so what he said in the well-known words in chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Matthew came. Maybe others paid their money to Matthew at the tax booth and they were ignorant with him. But the Lord Jesus tenderly and lovingly approached him and said, follow me. And I think in those two words, Matthew sensed that this man's different. These are loving words. These are tender words to me. And no wonder, leaving everything, he rose and followed him. And I trust that you will hear that call tonight. Matthew came. Matthew found rest. And may you find that rest that he did. We're going to sing an